Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Tuesday morning, September the 3rd, coming to you live from the bunker here in Western Canada as we take you into fall here in September. We've covered a lot of ground. We've been looking back at the Labor Day Classic weekends in the CFL. Every stadium jammed. Riders beating the Bombers Sunday, the Ticats knocking off the Argos Monday morning, our time out here in the West, and then Calgary Stampeders knocking off the Eskimos in the late game on the Monday doubleheader, flipping around, getting ready for week 13. Got a lot of things we're getting to here on the program. NFL week opening up, of course, Thursday night with the big game. I want to talk about the Sportsnet firings, Darren DuPont. We got to talk about that.
Sure.
Later on, not right now.
Okay.
But John Shannon, of course, being let go. Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean on the heels of Bob McCowan. I was asked this morning on Edmonton Radio, where do you see this business going? It was an interesting question. We'll spend some time on that a little later. Marshall Hamilton's with us here in the bunker. Former Rider, Ticat, and Calgary Stampeder. But we are going out on the Facebook video wall this morning. Video chat. We got Peter Labardi is joining us from the Calgary Flames broadcast crew. Lou, happy September, my man. How are you?
I am absolutely in about as good a frame as I have been for a long time. I am delighted.
Good to hear, Lou. And look, I don't know if you were around a television on the weekend, if you saw any of these CFL games, but Labor Day weekend, it's got fans upset, it's got teams upset, name-calling, fights in the parking lot. It's on, baby. It's that time of year. Does that get you excited as a CFL fan?
Well, of course it gets me excited, and there was nothing better than after I called the end of the America's Olympic qualifying softball tournament in Surrey on the weekend to race, find a TV, and watch the fourth quarter of the Riders and the Bombers. And what was so fantastic to just sit back and watch, guys, is how the stadium absolutely blew up after the, you know, walk-off game-winning field goal. It means so much. If you've ever been fortunate to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form, that's why I love sports the way that I do. It's about those moments, and, you know, I've listened to part of the show today. It didn't win by enough. You could have been, listen, here's what the business of sports is all about, winning. I don't want to hear about good fortune. Was it bad fortune when the Riders didn't have a starting quarterback to play in a playoff game? That's sports. You have to not only accept the parts that you like, but what it really is. It's an amazing spectacle that Sunday in Regina. It's really when the Canadian Football League, I don't have to tell anybody watching today, really heats up. So yes, it was exciting. And to Marshall, I can't tell you how good it is to see you and the memories. And I've kind of had a stretch of wonderful memories and seeing people that have invoked so many of them. When I think back to our days at CKCK and those shows that we did with John Lynch and the fun and what you helped teach me about football. And more importantly, what you helped teach me about how special athletes can be and the type of human beings they are. It's great to see you again, even if it's from a long way away.
Peter, you melt my heart. You really do. That was the nicest thing you've ever said to me. And I too have really fond memories of, and we did a number of different locations over the years, but I remember spending
sure
a lot
did.
Of
ate some great nachos at Carlos and
Carlos. They were yeah. I think did we do the 89 Grey Cup from Carlos Mexican
sure
restaurant and you and me and John
no,
Lynch?
No, I didn't. I missed that because I was actually in Kamloops calling a Pats game. So I didn't get as lucky to get in and on all that fervor, but I did so much of it leading up.
But this was early in Peter's career, and you've gone on to have a fantastic career. I love listening to you and watching you and hearing you. I have always loved your energy. And when I've got Peter Loubardius on one side of me and I got John Lynch on the other side of me, I don't know what I was. I was just sort of like the vanilla, vanilla pudding in the middle between these two. But I have tremendous memories of those days as well. And I'm a huge fan of you. And I love what you've done with your career, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Lou, there's only one thing I got for you, then I'll turn you loose on these guys, and they might have some Vikings questions. But a couple of weeks ago, I was in Delisle, Saskatchewan. Theo Fleury was on the stage. He told Pat's Warrior stories for 15 minutes of his hour-long address, which I didn't think anybody could do, but Theo did, and they were hilarious. And he
you
said,
could.
Yeah, and he said the Battle of Alberta, Oilers Flames, same thing, Pat's Warriors. So when we talk about the lack of passion anymore in the Dub, and to a certain extent the NHL, can you at least affirm for me that when it comes to Oilers Flames, there's still that hatred, they hate each other, and those games really do mean something?
Well, they do, but to be honest, Rod, it isn't what it used to be. That's plain and simply the way it is now. And I think it's not going to get back to that type of level. It's never going back to the 80s and early 90s. Sorry. And that's not a sports scenario. That's society. I mean, we're in a different time and a place, whether it's how people consume the athletes that are playing. And that's not being disrespectful. That's just flat out the truth as someone who's gone through it and seen it, you know, for 35 years of being lucky enough to work in this business and at a lot of different levels. But, you know, what is alive and well, and they'll blow the province up if they ever play again in the province, and it will happen on social media, it will happen amongst the fan base, and then it will happen amongst the players. And I am just so hopeful to be part of it when and if they meet in the playoffs. At the end of the day, guys, they just haven't met in enough meaningful games to really build it. And I think you require that in order to really build great rivalry. It's there. It's on the edges, but if you really want to bring it together, you need meaningful games, and I think you really need a playoff series.
And that could be what we get with the Riders and Bombers now. You get starting to see the hatred from just 1 week. They're going to play again. They're both gearing up to be a playoff team. If they met in the playoffs again for a second straight year, it could start to bring some of that hatred and some of that fun rivalry out again.
That could be the fifth time they've played each other this year, because they had an exhibition game. They played three regular season games in like a 6 week period or something like that. And then the playoffs aren't that far away. If they play a playoff game against each other, that could be a lot of animosity building between professional athletes just one province away from each other.
Well, familiarity breeds contempt. So that would be that. But Lou, I have to say, I didn't bring you on to chat CFL, 1 in 10 of our viewers is in Calgary. So your take on the Flames, if you don't mind, because the new season's right around the corner and some changes there, of course, in Lucic and Talbot. What do you see for the Flaming Sea?
Well, you know, Roddy, it's a long way away. It's hard to wrap my head around right now in the fact that I'm going to do a Flames Oiler rookie game in Red Deer on Saturday, but that is the case, and it's time to go to work and play. It's been an interesting summer for the Flames. I mean, I certainly didn't necessarily imagine a James Neal to Edmonton for Milan Lucic. But, you know, to this point, that's been the biggest newsmaker for a Calgary Flames team that had a wonderful regular season, finished best in the West before having a very difficult time with Nathan MacKinnon and the rest of the Colorado Avalanche. There is little doubt. And I like this conversation because what the Flames are hoping that Milan Lucic brings to their lineup is a presence, a physical presence. And they hope in that. The Flames have felt like they have been in need of a deterrent. Now, the game has changed, yes. But it hasn't changed in the fact that you still need forms of intimidation. And that's not about fighting, you know, once every three games. That's about the feeling that it gives the rest of your group, a Johnny Gaudreau, a Sean Monahan. And since Derek England, the former Moose Jaw Warrior, and what a good human he is, left the Flames to join Vegas, the Flames really feel like they've been missing that. They have lots of skill. I think Lucic is going to be given every opportunity to try and see if he can get back to a closer level. That will be up to him. But the thing that people don't always focus on where Milan is concerned, Milan lost his father a couple of years ago. And if you have any history, and I do with Milan, going back to a Canada-Russia series over in Russia, called two Memorial Cups that he played in 2006 and 2007. Guys, let's never forget, and I'm never going to forget, these are people. And when you go through things in your life that can be too much, Rod, I don't have to tell you, you have done such an incredible job of taking your journey and helping other people, but it takes time. So that's what I'm fascinated about the most because of the RFA situation. You know, we're going to wait and see about Matthew Tkachuk. Will he be in the Flames lineup? But the Lucic situation is one that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And let's face it, he's 31. You know, he's not the fastest guy in a game that's never been faster. But the Flames really feel like they have a lot of elements. They maybe needed somebody to act as a bit of a deterrent. So, you know, I'm excited about it. Things, because of RFA situations, because of a, you know, difficult injury to a young defenseman in Juuso Välimäki, I think it's kind of prevented the Flames from maybe making some other moves. But, you know, it should be another really exciting and, for sure, interesting season in Calgary.
Yeah, do you have any more on the Flames? I was going to change.
No, that's it.
I was going to change.
Just one
the
more for Lou. Go ahead.
You want to talk tennis?
Well,
no.
Kind of. First of all, I was watching the call of the walk-off in the softball game. That was incredible. So hats off to you. Another great call. But that kind of spawned this whole national conversation. We're all over Bianca right now, the way she's playing in at the U.S. Open. And, you know, I loved your comments on the Canadian basketball team. And we've got one of the top groups of, you know, young talent coming out of Canada in basketball, and none of them want to play for our country. So what's going on with those guys? Because when you're seeing the softball, you're seeing the tennis represented so well, and we're so proud of them, but we're not getting out of basketball, and I know that really bugs you.
Yeah, it bugs me a lot. It's not a priority. So here it is for me in a nutshell. I am never going to tell another human being what they should value or what they should prioritize. But I will say that I am going to cheer my tail off for anyone who prioritizes giving back to a game that's been very good to them. And I think that, and it happens a lot, everybody's got their own agenda. I have my own agenda. We're all going to do what's best for us. But here it is in a nutshell. Here's who I'm going to cheer for. I'm going to cheer for women like I watch for 8 days. Qualify for my country in a wonderful sport where it's not about the money, where in a couple of cases they stopped their careers, they gave up good jobs, all for the hope of playing for what's on the front and earning a berth into the Olympic Games. It's not about millions of dollars, and it's fine. We're all motivated by making money and having the best life that we can. But let's turn it more importantly over to this team. This team that features Melvin Ejim. Now, that may be a name that no one recognizes. Well, he's part of a Canadian basketball group, plays in Europe professionally, helped us earn a berth for the first time in a long time, even into this World Cup. And while some of these other guys don't care enough to show up and help basketball in this country, didn't we all like the Raptors? Didn't we all come together as a country? Yeah, we did. So this guy goes overseas, not with the same kind of teammates, misses, has to watch the birth of his child on the iPhone, but cared enough about his country and his great work to even get us there to try to put Canada, which should, if even four of those guys decided to play, would qualify for the Olympics. And what it would mean to them in this country, hey, if you want to get treated like the pro hockey players, then do something about it. Now, that's their choice. It's anybody's choice. But I'm going to cheer for Melvin Ejim and Brady Heslip and Kelly Olynyk, who unfortunately went down with injury, Corey Joseph, who made his way over to China to play in a tough situation, both politically and team-wise. That's where my heart and soul is going to give. I'm going to give it to those people because they care and I care, and I'm never going to stop caring about Canadian sport. Always have put my efforts towards it, my knowledge, and my passion. And if you don't like it and anybody else doesn't like it, that's up to them. But I'm going to cheer for Melvin Ejim and Andrew Wiggins and a lot of those other Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. You can stick it. You got one more chance with me next summer when Canada hopefully can qualify to be in one of those four last opportunity tournaments. You got one more chance because our country should be in the 12-team tournament, and they're the reason that it's not. And the reason why people have asked me today on Twitter, it's not a priority. And I get it in part. I respect it. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Peter, I just want to say an amen to that. But I do want to throw a hypothetical out there to reinforce what I think you're saying, because I agree with everything you said. If, and this is obviously a hypothetical, but if I was to hypothetically send a document or and do an interview with 20 great NHL players that are retired, you know, anybody from Wayne Gretzky and Joe Sakic and, you know, you go down, you know, Jerome McGinley, et cetera. You take a whole bunch of Canadian athletes and ask them to list in order the 10 biggest memories of their career. I will almost guarantee you that at least half of those memories and the ones closest to the top are the ones that they didn't get any money to play for. They're gold medals for Canada. They are world championships for Canada. They are Canada Cups where they got a chance to represent their country. They're world juniors where they got a chance to represent their country. They will list those things in the top 10 for sure, and they'll probably be really high in the top 10. And they didn't make, well, they might make a little bit of money for doing that now, but they don't, if they won the Stanley Cup, they'll list that. But they're not going to list the 30 goals or the 50 goals or the 25 penalty minutes or this. They're going to list the times where they had a chance to represent their country and play for next to no money, but they were playing for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. I would bet money that that's how they would respond.
So would I. And Marshall, I want to add one really important thing to the rant. And here it is. You know whose fault it is? It's the fault in a lot of ways of the people that message in some respects. And it's also what I have to remind myself about. Do you know why a lot of hockey players in part show up to play in a lot of those events, even when they're making millions of dollars? It's the A word, accountability. Do you think that Sidney Crosby and players of that ilk would be treated the way some of these basketball players in our country have gotten off the hook? I don't want to hear anymore, well, it's FIBA and the qualifying stinks. And it does. It does. I get it. The commitment is big. And yes, if you're injured and hurt or working on a contract, I don't want anybody taking away from their own livelihood. I'm not asking for unfair, but you're missing out and they're missing out. And part of it is not just them, but if we in Canada as sports fans, and I'm not sure that we always do, that's the fact of the matter. In hockey, in many ways, we don't give them a choice because if those types of athletes, if hockey, for example, goes back into the Olympic Games, You think that they are not going to be put on some grill and barbecued beyond belief in the media, in the public? Well, if we want better, then we have to ask for more. And I'm not leaving this situation without asking for more.
Lou, thank you for all of that. Nick Saragello is watching in Esteban. He is worried you're going to come through his screen.
Well, that's what I'm trying, because if you want to impact people, then impact people.
Yeah, for sure. Lou, thanks for this, my man. Safe travels out here to the West, and we'll catch up with you here hopefully before the month's over.
Okay, love you guys. You're doing an awesome job. Take care.
Thank you, Lou. Love you too. Great man out there from the Calgary Flames radio crew. We'll be right back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, episode number 65. On the way, NFL talk with former Eagle, Colt, Rider, and Ticat corner Nick Graham. And, of course, a lot of recap of Labor Day Classic weekend in the CFL. You're listening live at rodpeterson.com and catching our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Canada-wide clearance has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. That means for a limited time, our entire inventory of new vehicles have clear-o prices to move. This brand new 2019 GMC Sierra double cab is just $39,894 plus tax. That's only $225 bi-weekly. We have over 200 SUVs to clear out. This new 2019 GMC Terrain SLE has a clear-o price of only $34,623 plus tax. That's just $99 a week and is all-wheel drive with heated seats and navigation. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Episode number 65 of The Rod Peterson Show, recognizing number 65s in the world of sports. The group includes Ben Heenan, Eric Carlson, from Indy Colts fame, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Dan Fetterkyle. There are several, but you got to dig for them. And from the Saskatchewan Rush, Eric Ellis. Morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. We mentioned CFL doubleheader Monday, Labor Day Classic Edition. Calgary Stampeders defeating the Edmonton Eskimos 25-9. Bo Levi returned to throw 263 and a touchdown. The Hamilton Tiger Cats defeated Toronto 38-27 at the Donut Box, at the Coffee Cup down there in Hamilton. There's no return engagement, by the way, in the Ticats-Argos game as the Argos take on Ottawa this week. PFC action, the Thunder, Regina Thunder beat the Winnipeg Rifles 52-45 in overtime. Huskies beat the Colts 23-16, and the Saskatoon Hilltops now in sole possession of first place after beating the Edmonton Huskies 24-22. I'm starting to think the Hilltops could beat the BC Lions. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
well. Five consecutive Canadian Little Grey Cup championships for the Saskatoon Hilltops. It's become boring for them. And Edmund Encarnacion set to rejoin the Yankees tonight after missing a month because of a broken right wrist. Blue Jays visit Atlanta in interleague play. I think the Jays have lost like eight in a row, maybe more, interleague game. Just stop with the experiment. NFL season 2019 kicks off on Thursday night. Green Bay at Chicago. My Dallas Cowboys home to the New York Football Giants on Sunday. That's a win for the Cowboys. Your Tennessee Titans visit Chris Jones and the Cincinnati Bengals. I was looking
Cleveland
that up.
Browns.
Are the are they at Cleveland? I thought I had
Chris
written down
Jones
a Cincinnati.
In Cleveland.
Oh, they're at Cleveland, right? Yeah. I've written down a Cincinnati.
It's all good.
They're still going to lose. It doesn't matter where they're going. But we're going to get our NFL talk on now. A little CFL talk on now. Our video chat brings in one Nicholas D. Graham, former Colt. Eagle.
What's going on?
Hey, Nick, I wasn't done your list yet. Riders and Ticats Corner. Where do we catch up with you today, Nick? Where are you at?
I'm actually in Lake Charles, Louisiana, man. I'm coaching football now. So that's where I am. Sunny Lake Charles.
Beautiful Lake Charles, day. Louisiana. It just sounds hot and steamy in Lake Charles, Louisiana today. How is it down there?
It's pretty dang humid. You walk to the car, you're sweating. So it's one of those things, man. It'll be 81 degrees and you'll just be dripping.
You know, Nick, I just real quickly looked up your Instagram bio. It said love and life and the people in it. And for those that don't know, Nick was here with the Riders in 2010, 2011, 2012. Those are pretty good times. I've had a lot of former Riders on the program. I'm saying, are you following the team? And they say they are because you can get the games down there on television right now. So what's your take on what's going on in Riderville, your former home?
Well, man, I'd love to say that I'm able to tune in and watch every day. You know, anytime it's on, I'm going to take a look and watch some Canadian football. I love the league, in particular the Riders. You know, that was my favorite organization when I was up there. So I try to catch it whenever I can. Got about three guys that I still know and still talk to up there. Brian Burnham in B.C. and Brandon Rutley's in B.C. And Dane Evans, as I was actually a kid, I coached at Tulsa, who's there also in Hamilton.
Okay, so tell me about Dane Evans then, because a lot of people thought when Jeremiah Masoli went down, the season would be over, and Evans basically hasn't lost other than here, as you guys recall, the night the Buffalo Days opened. Remember that late game? But what is up with Dane Evans, man? Do you see Cinderella's ball striking midnight, however that goes, on Dane Evans, or is he just going to keep, because they're 9-2, best team in the league.
He's going to keep ascending. I mean, so I know him. He went to the University of Tulsa. I worked there and I played there also. We've had a couple of guys in the CFL. Jeff Parrott was up there. There was a guy named John Hammerstein-Reese that was up there. So he's familiar with the game. That kid is just a stud, man. He just always plays hard, man. He's been undersized, but he's got a freaking rocket for an arm. And I'm not surprised at the things that he's doing.
You got that McNeese jacket on. Is that the same staff as KJ?
It was. KJ is now at Southeastern now. I saw him a couple of times this summer, and we'll play each other a little later on this season.
Right. That is in Hammond, Louisiana. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yes, sir.
Nick, before we go a little further down the line, and these guys will have some football questions for you, what are your memories of the Riders in your time here? As I said, the year is firing, the hiring of Chaim. There was a lot going on with the Riders in your time here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a crazy time, but, you know, it was a time where, you know, I, you know, wasn't able to play in the NFL anymore and, you know, didn't know where I was going. And, you know, I got up to Saskatchewan. I didn't know what to expect, you know, but the organization was just a first class organization. I think the world of Coach Miller. Don't get to talk to him often. We're Facebook friends, so we kind of, you know, like each other's pictures back and forth. And I just love the guys that were up there, man. I still talk to Kai Stewart. Quite often, you know, so there's some friends that I'll have, you know, for the rest of my days and just the city. I mean, the way they embraced the team and the game, you know, it was crazy. I loved it, you know, and it wasn't the same when I went to another team. So.
Nick, Marshall Hamilton here. I'm a former defensive back with the Riders, but that was back in the era when they didn't even have pre-snap motion. You could waggle to the side with your two slot backs, and that was it.
Right.
If you were coaching a defensive back on your current team who had an opportunity to come to the Canadian Football League, what pre-coaching would you do to him in terms of what to prepare for and what to be ready for when you come to the Canadian Football League?
Learn to play in space because that field is huge. Balls that you think you can get to, sometimes they float over your head just because you're not used to the dimensions of that field. And get used to that waggle. You know, I think that's the biggest thing the guys struggle with when they get up there. You know, it's just speed coming at you in your face before the snap. And so it's difficult to deal with. But I always try to encourage kids, you know, that aren't able to play in the NFL to take a look at the CFL. And, you know, because it's a great league and it's a great living for a kid that's fresh out of college.
You talk about that, Nick. What's the imprint of the CFL? How much has it grown south of the border down there in the States? You know, it's on ESPN now. People get a chance to be exposed to it. But from the player's standpoint, are they seeing it as an option? Are they exposed to it more than they were before?
I think that it's definitely a viable option for kids. And I think they just know. I came out in 06, and I'll be honest, I really – you know, I think I'd heard of the CFL, but, I didn't get to watch any games, didn't know the rules or anything. Now, since I've been coaching about 6 years, I always get kids asking me about the CFL. And so I think that they know that that league exists. They know that there's great players up there. They know that guys sometimes go to CFL and come back to the NFL. And so I think that it's in the States, it's in a great place because kids see that as a viable option.
Nick, last one for you. The NFL kickoff Thursday night, as I mentioned, with Green Bay at Chicago. You're alum of the Colts and the Eagles. Is there one team that you follow more than any others or are a fan of more than any others? Is it the Saints because you're in Louisiana? Who's your team?
My team is the Philadelphia Eagles. Always has been. Even before I played, I was a Randall Cunningham fan. I had the Eagles starter jacket when I was a kid. So I've just always followed the Eagles. And, you know, I don't get much time to watch NFL games coaching just because, you know, we're 24/7, you know, getting ready for ball games. And, you know, but I always try to peek in on the Eagles.
So did they keep the right quarterback in Carson Wentz? What's your take on the Eagles here? Of course, we're giving the division to the Cowboys, but as far as the Eagles themselves go at the quarterback position, did they keep the right guy?
Yeah, I think they kept the right guy because, you know, I think Carson is younger, you know, and he can't help injuries. That stuff happens, you know, but I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be a dang good player. And that's no knock to the guy that they got rid of. You know, it's a luxury to have one quarterback, you know, so to have two, we were in a good space. I don't think they could have went wrong with either guy, but, you know, just from a youth standpoint, I probably would have kept Wentz.
I'm doing my best enactment of a belligerent, rude Cowboys fan. How am I doing? Does it fit the mold?
Oh, man. I didn't know that you're a Cowboys fan, man. I still love you, man, but the goodness gracious.
Nick, thank you, my man. Good luck with the McNeese State, man. We'll be following now and appreciate all of you following what we do. It's good to catch up with you.
Good to catch up with you, too. You guys take care.
Nicholas Donnell Graham joining us from McNeese State down in Louisiana with a little bit of a preview there. And it's funny, you know, it's what I love about bringing those guys on from that era. 2010, Grey Cup appearance. 2011, firing a Greg Marshall. 2012, Chamblain's first year. That was massive upheaval in pro football terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so much going on at that time, and he got to experience all of it. You know, kind of funny, but it's cool to see, you know, the way the game's, you know, portrayed down there, the way people think about it. Now, he didn't know much about the CFL, but now you get all these guys, and we're starting to talk to more alumni, and you look at, we had Eddie Davis on, and we had other guys on who are doing these conditioning programs down in the United States, or Kevin Glenn now in Detroit, and, you know, him in Louisiana, and they're coaching, and they're giving back to the game, but they're also spreading the word about how great the CFL is, too, and the next crop of young players start thinking, hey, the NFL's great, but the CFL is pretty awesome, too. And look at these guys. They're heroes back up in Canada. We were in Nashville last December, and those guys just remembered all of these alumni who came and played with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I don't know if I told you that, Marshall. Darren and I were wandering around the Titans tailgate. We had Ryder. I don't think I had a golf shirt on. You might have had a hat. Can't remember, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And these guys were like, hey, you guys, you're from Saskatchewan? How's Ken Austin doing up there? He's a legend out here from Brentwood. And who was the other guy? That
offensive
Chamberlain.
Line.
They remember Chamberlain.
Well, they remember Chamberlain.
Tennessee Tech. Like, it is a big deal down there.
Yeah.
Short tangent. I couldn't help but think when he was talking about the Eagles starter jacket, it just took my mind back to the movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg.
Vince Papale story.
That's for those of you that are listening that haven't watched that movie. I know it's not a new one anymore, but a great movie. And I love movies that are based on true stories, and that was an inspiring movie.
Just want to read a couple of text messages here on the Prairie Mobile text line from Ken. He says, "More Lou, love the passion. Great show, Rod. I am with Irene." That's from Ken. That's a Saskatoon couple who I'm not, well, you've met them, Darren, but they told me at the All-Star Celebrity Football Game Saturday night that Ken is afraid to tell his wife what happened on the show on a daily basis because then she'll realize he wasn't doing any work around the house. So he's trying to figure out how to bridge that.
Just say goodnight, Irene.
You know, that's one thing, by the way. I had a guy Friday morning at a meeting I was in. He said, "Can you shorten the show?" And I said, "Why would I do that?" He goes, "Because it's taking up all of my time." He goes, I can't turn it off. This is my good friend Ken, who's probably watching right now. Paul Drouin, the big PD, wants to go 3 hours, that sadist.
I was just going to say that the average listener and
watcher
wants to go longer, not shorter.
But that's what everybody's saying. It's taking up all of their time. That's not my problem, I don't think. From Leonard, he says, "Cody and the Rider offense shredded Richie Hull's defense. Willie Jefferson was too tired and exhausted to stop the Rider offense in the last 3 minutes of the football game." May or may not be true. That's the take from Leonard. And your boy Nashville chiming in again from Saskatoon. Everybody's from Saskatoon writing in today. But what does that say, Darren? We're very big in Saskatoon.
But we knew that.
That's what that says. He says, "Winnipeg is all sour about the loss, saying we're lucky Nichols and Harris weren't in. Why don't we remind them that just a couple of weeks ago, they wanted Chris Streveler as their starting quarterback?" How about that? Remember they didn't like Nichols? This is what you wanted. You got what you wanted. How's that working out?
But we didn't want Harris to be suspended.
No. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday morning, episode number 65. Thanks for joining us. Oh, and I think we are handing out the WHL Cup to the Saskatoon Blades. We have to talk about that, but maybe in the overtime segment.
Okay.
Once Marshall adjourns, you're watching Canada's most watched Facebook live show, the Rod Peterson Show, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, Living Sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on this Tuesday morning, bringing in September. Thanks for making us part of your day for this September the 3rd. We're in the bunker in Western Canada. Marshall Hamilton still with us for one more segment, and then Dupes and I will wrap it up with the overtime segment and kind of put a wrapper on the All-Star Celebrity Football Weekend, because there's some talk, not of how it could be better, but how it could be bigger, because it was pretty good. But we'll get into that in the overtime segment and a bunch of other things.
Sure.
With Marshall, we'll continue to pick his brain here. The fans love Marsh and what he brings. Stamps, Ticats, Riders alum. Sitting around Coffee Row yesterday, Marshall. Everybody's fighting over whether Cody Fajardo's for real or not. It's about a 50-50 split. And I don't know where some say he's proven all he needs to prove. And I'm saying, hasn't won a playoff game yet. Hasn't played in cold weather yet. There's a lot of boxes left to check. Where are you on the Fajardo thing? I.e., if you're Jeremy O'Day, are you just handing over a blank check and a contract extension, or do you still need to be sold?
Well, it depends. There's always variations. I mean, am I offering him $600,000 a year? Absolutely not. Am I offering him a contract extension? Absolutely. So it all boils down to what's the right amount. And if I'm Cody Fajardo, I'm thinking, you know, I got a pretty good shot right now to get a better contract, you know, whereas, you know, 3-4 games from now, who knows, you know, I could have an injury, I could have some bad games, I could start throwing some interceptions. You know, most players don't think that negatively, but I'm telling my agent, you know, let's be talking. But if I'm Jeremy O'Day, I'm definitely offering him a contract extension. I'm probably looking at something that's in the 3-year range. I'm probably looking at something that's going to pay him between $200,000 and $300,000 next year, potential for $250,000 to $350,000 the year after, and potential to have it as much incentive laden as possible. But he's not, for all the reasons you said earlier, he hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't shown what he can do when the weather gets cold. We've been winning some games against Eastern opponents. We've been winning some games against Winnipeg without their two best players. We've been winning some games against Hamilton without their two best players or three best players. So a lot needs to be proven before you start putting him in the category with the $400,000 to $500,000 to $600,000 quarterbacks.
So you're not sold. You're not putting him in that upper.
No, I really like what I've seen so far. I mean, there were two interceptions thrown in this game, which was a little bit out of character, because I've been commenting on how productive he's been and he's not being conservative, because he's throwing the ball down the field, but he's being really smart with his passes. And the interception he threw in the first quarter of the game against Winnipeg was one of those, oh, come on, you know better than that. You shouldn't have thrown that into that one. You should have just ran for 5 yards and gone back to the huddle and called the next play. And he will learn from those things. And he did later in the game have almost the identical play, and he chose to run it. So he's ticking all of the right boxes right now, but he's not Bo Levi Mitchell. He's not Mike Riley.
Right.
He's not Trevor Harris. He's not Jeremiah Masoli. But he's certainly a great up-and-coming quarterback that we should be having talks with to get him back on our roster for a few years to come.
Yeah, we have to be realistic about Cody Fajardo, no doubt. We can't just back up the Brinks truck yet because he's won 6 in a row. That's pretty great. And it's awesome, and he's got the Riders back up to first in the West, and those are all really good things, and we need to be really excited about it. But we can't just hand over the Brinks truck and sign him to a 3-4 year extension and just lock this guy up. He's the guy. We do that way too often with quarterbacks. We did it with Isaac Harker right away after he came in and looked pretty good in a half of football or in a game. And he still looks like he might be one of the guys of the future and a nice guy to have. We did it with Tino Sinceri after a good half of preseason football. We anointed him as being the guy, let's cut everybody else. We're good. But until we see it, to be honest, year over year and see it in playoff games and big games and down the stretch, you can't just commit long term to that yet. But there's no reason to think that he's not going to be the guy.
Clark informing 8, breaking news this morning. Jonathan Jennings has been named the starting quarterback for the Red Blacks Friday Night Football Week 13 game against the Toronto Argonauts. And, well, I'm clearly wrong on Jonathan Jennings. I thought he could be the next one. Jeremy O'Day and the Riders did not even offer him a contract this offseason, opting for Cody Fajardo instead. That's why I sit here and why Jeremy has an office at Mosaic Stadium. Clearly, I'm not due to be a general manager of a CFL team. Jonathan Jennings is not proving to be the next one anywhere. So I'll go with you, Marshall. Ottawa needs to start winning, or this crossover is going to be in play. As a matter of fact, the fourth place team might clinch soon because Ottawa's at 3 wins. Calgary and Edmonton are at 6. That's a pretty big gap with the week starting to shorten here.
Yeah, I'm not baiting Nashville to put another bet on there for me, but if anybody thinks there's not going to be a crossover, I'll take that bet because there will be a crossover in the Canadian Football League this year. The teams in the West are stronger than the teams in the East. The teams in the East that are strong, Hamilton's running away with first place. It's not a given yet, but they will finish in first place, and Montreal will finish in second, and the other two are going to struggle to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get more points than either Calgary, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, or Edmonton. So you heard it here, not first, but there's going to be a crossover this year. I think I said it at the beginning of the year, too. There's going to be a crossover this year.
Yeah.
Things I've been wrong on. I didn't think Cody Fajardo would be this. I thought he was a third down quarterback and nothing more. And you were standing there, Marshall, when Quinn Magnuson at training camp said how great signing Fajardo was. I'm like, he's a short yardage quarterback. So there's one. Two, didn't think the Riders would make the playoffs. They're soon to be clinching, right? Why am I sitting here burying myself with how many things I've been wrong on? Jonathan Jennings thought he could lead a team. Clearly not. And I thought the BC Lions, maybe that's where we'll wind things up, would at least show up with the highest paid player in the league. And they end up firing Brian Chu on our pregame show Sunday, which was went over very well. Gene Mikowski, Marshall, was on here saying that he doesn't know if firing Brian Chu is the right thing or not, but you can fire one coach, you can't fire all the players. And he had to walk the plank. So we saw this coming, did we not? Mm-hmm. At 1-9?
Yeah, I didn't think. Well, we're in the era where, and I'm not into sort of the details of this, but you've got a budget that you can spend on coaches for the year. And if partway through the year you decide you want to get rid of all your coaches, you're left with virtually no money to pay the new guys. So who's going to come in and say, well, yeah, I'll coach the rest of the year for you for free? Like, it's just not going to happen. So you'll have a firing, a token coach, and in their case, that was probably an easy one, Brian Chu being the coach of the offensive line giving up a ton of sacks and just about killing Mike Riley in the process. So that's a token firing, but it certainly has set the stage for in the offseason. If Devon Klaibuch is still around, and I don't know, I don't have a prediction on that one yet, but I think that he'll have a very drastically different group of assistant coaches for next year.
Marshall, we'll let you go. I will see you on television tonight.
Yes, of course.
All right. Dupes and I back for overtime. We'll talk a little Canada West opening weekend. We'll talk a little Dub opening weekend preseason. We'll go over today's poll results and a whole lot more. And I see Paul has just graced us with his presence in the building. So we will throw some crap at him. That's all coming up in the overtime segment on The Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Save thousands on this pre-owned 2018 Nissan Rogue. It's fully loaded and ready to move with an employee price of just $23,999 plus tax. Or check out this pre-owned 2018 Ford Edge Titanium all-wheel drive. Its employee price is only $27,999 plus tax. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Offers end September 30th. You pay what we pay.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the program for the overtime segment, everybody, on this Tuesday, episode number 65. Famous number 65s include Ben Heenan, Eric Carlson, Ryan McLean, they tell me, Dan Fetter, Kyle. You still got time to chime in with yours, Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777, or the Facebook wall. Morning sports update, Canada West football recap from the weekend. It was week one. The Manitoba Bisons down the Saskatchewan Huskies 43-19 in Winnipeg. The Dinos survived a late scare by Alberta and beat the Golden Bears in Edmonton 41-31. U of R Rams winning at UBC 46-16. We've talked a lot about CFL today. You know what happened there. In the PFC, the Regina Thunder needed overtime to beat the Winnipeg Rifles 52-45. The Wildcats beat the Colts 23-16, and the Hilltops now in sole possession of first after beating the Huskies 24-22. In the W, as the nerds say, it's supposed to be the dub.
The dub.
Preseason, the lone game of the night has the Red Deer Rebels visiting the Edmonton Oil Kings tonight. So there's your morning sports update. And I will just say this. The Tuesday poll for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center is, who is the best in the West following Labor Day weekend games? BC Lions failed to even make our poll. Saskatchewan Roughriders leading at 58.6% of the vote. The Calgary Stampeders next at 34.3%. The Blue Bombers stumbling down to 7.2%. And nobody's even voted for the Edmonton Eskimos.
That tells you all you need to know.
It kind of does. Yeah. Like, I don't understand this Edmonton thing. We need to get to the bottom of the matter here. We see that they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Our studies show they're watching. They just don't vote on anything and they don't write it on the Facebook wall. I don't get it.
Or they don't believe that the Eskimos.
Or they don't believe in their football team. There's a chance of that.
There is.
But Saturday night, if you go way back to the start of this program, once you're watching the replay or whatever, you'll see that we talked about our all-star celebrity football game Saturday night. And Tyler's here on the couch. He was a big part of it. Paul's here, as I mentioned. He was a big part of it. Hey, the original four are here. It's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
So right after the game, everybody's saying, how can this be bigger next year? How can it be better? And the one thing I wanted to mention to you, you've noticed a lot of our biggest fans are young men.
Yep.
You've noticed that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, a couple of guys, I would say high school kids, came up to me and said, are those T-shirts for sale, the ones that we were wearing? And I'm like, no! I mean, you scrambled just to get the T-shirts ready to begin with for the players, let alone sell them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Claremont wants to bring in cheerleaders. Jim Hobson thinks we're going to need more stands.
He thinks we'll need to expand the seating. We'll need expanded seating for the game. So maybe some end zone seats. I don't know what temporary seats are going to cost. But
we'll use the ones that the Schooners didn't use for Touchdown Atlantic.
There you go.
Ba-da-bum.
Good idea. But it's going to be big next year. I mean, it was big this year.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine how much bigger it's going to get.
Well, with the pregame show, the donut eating contest, tailgate party, the alumni game, all-star game, and celebrities too, because the Lavoie sisters from Amazing Race Canada were the biggest stars of the night. Were you happy with how everything played out? Because I texted you yesterday, and I said, you slash we delivered on every promise we said we were going to do. Yeah. And that's a nice feeling.
It is. It does. It feels really, really good. You know, when you sit back and let it all sink in, I mean, it was a home run. I mean, everybody, you know, contributed to making the whole weekend a huge success. I said that right from the beginning. And the biggest thing for me, forget about, you know, how many fans showed up, and there was a lot, and that was great. Or, you know, the money that was, you know, raised to help support Regina Minor Football or the Riot, and there was some money raised for them too, which is exciting. But it was the guys on Saturday when, you know, the Jason Claremonts and the Chris McKenzies and the Hobsons and the Brescianis and all these alumni, you know, Mike McCullough, and these guys showed up. And they saw each other because they didn't know who was all going to be there. And they saw each other and they were catching up. That was cool. And when we sat in the locker room and, you know, telling stories for a little while, and that was fun. And then warming up and then playing the game. Yeah, it was just a really cool thing to be a part of.
Well, Rob Bresciani after the game, who was the MVP of the game, the oldest player in the game, was the best player in the game. However, nobody's seen him since Saturday. Have we done a house check on Bresciani? Is he alive? Because I know a lot of guys were in an ice cold tub all Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, Bresciani comes up to me and he's like, thanks so much for doing this. This is awesome. And I'm like deferring to you. It was DuPont. It's not me. I just put my name on it. It's nice that everybody would say that, but you guys did all the work. So thank you for that. And Ty writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, luckily you've got some time to plan the celebrity hockey game this winter.
Yeah, I guess.
I might actually play in that one.
That would be fun.
I might actually play in that.
Do you got gear?
Of course. I've sold everything. But I've got gloves and skates. And frankly, that's all I need. I don't need equipment.
All right.
I have a very high pain tolerance. And yeah, I'm okay with it. Now, Clark's telling me to put my pads on. I sold them. They're gone.
But that's what you would play.
So as to not tempt me to ever put them on again.
But if you played in the celebrity game, you would be in goal, right?
No.
Oh, you'd play out.
I gave that. No, I'd play out.
Okay.
What are you, nuts?
Well, you were
a
goalie.
No goalies play goal. When they're done playing,
okay,
they all play out.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of the, remember that outdoor hockey tournament they used to have here on West Canada Lake? Do you remember that? Paul, you would remember. I almost killed myself. You know that whole feeling when you impale yourself with your, when it gets stuck in that? We all had that, right? That happened on West Canada Lake. Went to my doctor, tore cartilage off the rib. I was 40. And he goes, you're done playing. So what do you mean I'm done playing? I'm the same age as Marty Brodeur. And he goes, this is not a debate. You're done, retired. So I got rid of all my gear, and that was pretty much the end of that. But I would play in this game if we do it.
Okay.
So Tyler's saying to do that. Oh, now the wrestling people are writing in. Trevor Stoiko, pro wrestling guy. Why not put some wrestling trunks on and come out to a show? What's with this? What do you think? We're like a jukebox here? Plug in a quarter and we can do whatever you want? Dancing chickens here? We'll decide.
Yeah.
The invitations
hockey,
are nice.
The hockey game is intriguing.
Yes.
We could do that. That would be fun. I think it would be lots of fun.
Paul's looking at his watch over there on the couch. Are we supposed to get off the air, Paul?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, he tells us. Keep dancing, chicken.
Rob Bresciani says he could have gone another 30 minutes.
Is Bresciani answering the...
Right,
is he watching? He could have played 30 more minutes. The Pats tourney this weekend. The Pats didn't win a game. Your blades look pretty sharp.
Preseason. It's preseason.
You can tell a preseason who's good and who's not, though.
But you can. I know the blades are going to be good. They're going to have a great year. They deserve it. They've gone through their fair share of struggles since 2013 and the Memorial Cup year. Let's remember that. So last year was fun for them. This year will be fun again. It'll be more fun, I'm sure. But the whole division is going to be good. The Pats should be a little bit better. You know, Winnipeg's going to be really good with Peyton Krebs. I think they're going to be a good team. Moose Jaw's not going to go anywhere. They got some really good young players. I'm really excited to watch Damon Hunt. I think it's his draft year. So I'm excited for the young core to grow in Moose Jaw. And PA's going to be really good too. But I think it'll be Winnipeg or like Saskatoon, Winnipeg, PA. Those three will be really battling out for the division.
We'll get into all that stuff as the winter goes along. Look at all the camera angles they're testing out here. That's a new one.
I like that one.
We've been invited to go to the Huskies game on Friday night. I'm inclined.
Yeah.
Friday. You can't?
I'll be calling the Rams game here.
So you're not in.
On the television broadcast.
Okay, then I'll probably stay here for the Rams game. I'm not going up alone.
No.
I'm not.
No. Now we get into it. This is week one for me, and it'll be every week now.
Just who's almost calling the game with you?
I think it's Jesse Lumsden.
So Lummer!
Me and Jesse Lumsden on the call.
The star of The Bachelor.
Yeah, so that'll be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Is it 2 minutes yet, Paul? Do we need to keep dancing up here on the old hot plate? Okay. The time is out. Oh, from Greg Sturr, a security guard at Evraz Place. I would pay to see you guys in the wrestling ring. Depends who we're wrestling, and I don't want to wear trunks. I want to wear a unitard. If I'm going in there, that's my stipulation.
We'll be like the Road Warriors.
The Road Warriors, exactly. Okay, apparently we're out of time. Does anybody know who's on the show tomorrow? Does anybody? Chad Owens, CO2. Derek Myers, and Clark tells me he's working on Claire Hanna. So that's good. CO2.
Yeah.
See what he's up to. We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.